We use the incident in Mark 2 where friends, they bring a sick colleague to Jesus. They bring the sick colleague, but they only find the way blocked by the crowds. And we ask the question, are we bringers or are we blockers? And today, I want to ask the question, who are the people we are to be seen with? Who are the people we are to be seen with? Immediately after the story of the man who came through the roof, from last time I was with you, Mark presents us with another episode in Jesus' life, which offers another challenge to us about the kind of people that the church is for. And I'm going to ask Graham to read from Mark 2, 13 to 17.
Calling of Levi. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Thank you. This is the word of the Lord. So there we have Matthew, a tax collector, just about the most unpopular profession around at the time. Not simply because people didn't like paying taxes, but there were taxes imposed by an occupying enemy army. And those who collected them were seen as having sold themselves out to the occupying army. They had betrayed their own people. That was the thought. Not surprising, Matthew's circle of friends was quite small. His social circle consisted of similar undesirables. So when Matthew meets Jesus, his instinct is to invite Jesus to his home. He invites him to his home along with his friends. You know, the Pharisees saw Matthew and his friends as outrageous people. They were lumped together as tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors and sinners. You know, this story highlights two important principles that are worth reflecting on who and what the church is for. We note, not just in this example that we've just heard, but in other examples, that Jesus was willing to go into somebody else's territory. He was prepared to go into somebody else's territory. It didn't require a major outreach, masses of planning, just the acceptance of an invitation. Acceptance of an invitation. Jesus was not afraid of being seen mixing with people whom others had no time for. In fact, he even saw it as his priority. Remember, he said, the well have no need, the healthy have no need of a doctor. It's those who are sick that I've come for. I've come to call not the righteous but sinners. There's a similar dynamic at work when Jesus encounters Zacchaeus. Remember little Zacchaeus? Another tax collector. Another dinner date. And more complaints that he, from the Pharisees, that he had gone to dine with sinners. It asks the question, really, for us. What is the territory of the people we hope to invite to church on Sunday? What is the territory of those people? How can we venture into it? Do our priorities as a church encourage us to move into other territories? Or does the structures of our church make it more difficult for people of other territories to move into ours? Do we pray to God to open up opportunities? Do we pray for God to open up invitations? See, God is good at opening up opportunities if we ask Him. When I was in full-time ministry, the latter years of my ministry, I was so blessed. And I was largely blessed because of what started as one telephone call. One telephone call from someone who said they had some church connections, not my church connection, but some church connections. And they rang me and they said they were concerned about a family, they were concerned about a family member who had a terminal illness. And they were concerned that he didn't know the Lord and his salvation was in doubt. And they had tried and failed and talking to him. They said, would I go and have a chat with this man? Well, cutting a long story short, I traveled with this man for about a year and a half. And we got to know each other really well. And I don't know whether it was my accent or whatever, but we got on really well. We'd have a chat, we'd have a pint together. And we were able to talk about spiritual matters. And at the end of which, he said, I want you to do my funeral. And at his funeral, there was about 300 people there, including another lady who had terminal illness. And she said, would you come and see me? And that led into a sequence of me traveling with terminally ill people. Now, you might think that's not the best of ministries. But, you know, it was such a joyful ministry. It was such a joyful ministry. I came away blessed when I spent time with people who were facing a terminal illness. And all of them, I was asked to do their funeral. And I estimated I probably spoke the gospel to maybe 2,000 people over a period of 2 or 3 years that I never would have got the chance to speak the gospel to. God of opportunities. You know, we need to take hold of those opportunities. Pray for them. This is not all about me, but I'm just going to give some examples. At the moment, in my street, a very close neighbour, him and his wife, and for some reason, they have just shut themselves off from everybody else. And reading between the lines, or if I want to be spiritual, say my spirit tells me there's something happening in the family. Somebody else discovered that their house is on the market. It hasn't been publicly displayed, but you know, you can Google stuff and you can find a house on the market. And the great suspicion is that they've got two young children, and the family, it looks as though their marriage is breaking down as well. And you might say, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, I just experience the pain of all that they're going through. And I pray, Lord, just, I can't go in the knock on the door until they say something, you know. They avoid us as neighbours. And I say, I want an opportunity to just be with them really in the middle of their difficulties. So pray for that. I'm praying for that. And you have your own different situations. Pray for opportunities. Pray for an invite. And watch the Lord at work. Jesus, he refused to bow to social pressures. He refused to bow to social conventions. He preferred to place himself amongst those whom he perceived needed to hear his message most. And I want to mention just some of the examples of that from Scripture, where he stood outside the norm. He stood outside the social conventions of the day because he knew in doing so he would meet people who needed to understand the kingdom and needed to understand how much God loved them. You remember the Samaritan woman at the well? Jesus, weary after a long day, he asks a Samaritan woman for a drink because they both find themselves at the well. And this Samaritan woman was surprised, because Jews were not supposed to have anything to do with Samaritans, let alone speak to them. They were shocked. She was shocked when Jesus spoke to her. He said to the lady, "If you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water, and you never would be thirsty again." What wonderful words. The lady responds immediately. She says, "Give me that water." And she tells Jesus all about herself. But of course, Jesus knew. Jesus knew that there was a lady with a string of failed relationships. And many commentators would say she was only at the well by herself because she had to go there when nobody else was there because of her sin. She belonged to a racial group who most of Jesus' compatriots despised. And then there was a lady who anointed Jesus in the house. She was a gatecrasher into a party that Jesus had gone to. Jesus was invited to a meal to the house of a leading Pharisee. And the woman, probably a woman of ill repute, gate crashed and proceeded to anoint Jesus' feet with expensive perfume and then dried his feet with her hair. And the Pharisee, the religious man, couldn't believe what was happening. Couldn't believe that Jesus would allow these things to be done to him by such a woman. This was a woman of ill repute, probably a prostitute, but she is certainly described as having lived a sinful life. She had gatecrashed the dinner party. She expressed her affection for Jesus in a way that was considered wholly inappropriate and broke just about every social convention going. But Jesus saw something in that woman that he could not see in the righteous Pharisee. Once again, Jesus gets into somebody else's territory because it's necessary to do so. There was the centurion. Remember the centurion? With a servant who he valued greatly, and the servant was dying. He sent people to find Jesus and to bring him to his home so that his servant could be healed. Now, this man was a senior figure in the enemy occupation army. He was seen as an oppressor and an opponent. The centurion had some second thoughts after he sent another servant out to get Jesus. He felt embarrassed He thought, as he thought about it, he thought, my request might offend Jesus. He has second thoughts. And he sent some other friends to say, just say the words and he will be well. Just say the words. You don't need to come. Just say the words. Jesus, once again, dealing with people who are outside the social convention. Remember the story of Jairus? Jairus, a leading figure in his town. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his home and heal his dying sister, his dying daughter. As Jesus pushed through the crowds, he noticed there was a tug on his cloak. When he turned round, there was a woman standing there who was hemorrhaging. And because she was hemorrhaging, she would have been deemed as unclean, ostracized by society in that condition. Jesus sought her out, and the woman told her her story in front of everybody, and hallelujah, she was healed. And meanwhile, news came that Jairus' daughter had died and Jesus was no longer needed. But as Jesus said, he said, don't worry, don't despair. Trust me and all will be well. See, here again were two people, one who fitted the social conventions perfectly and one who shunned by society, but both displayed a desperate need, a need which Jesus met. If Jesus had kept himself within the boundaries of the social convention, none of these things would have happened. None of them would have happened. And challenges for us. Do we keep ourselves within the confines of our church? As Jenny said, there's people out there, people in your town, who know nothing about the love of the Lord. You know, as I mentioned those people, those biblical characters, those biblical situations that Jesus ventured into, I wonder what kind of people come into your minds as I've been speaking. What people and situations come into your mind? To what degree do you feel such people would be welcome today into our lives and into our churches? What would you change to make them feel more welcome, personally and corporately? What needs to change? And if you feel that such people would be welcome, then would they know that they're welcome? Would they know that they're welcome? What could you do to communicate this more openly and widely? What kind of people are brought to mind when you realize how Jesus set about his ministry? The sort of people that Jesus met, went out of his way to meet and helped. What is the situation today in your town and in our country for us Christians? What about people of other faiths? What do we do about that? I've always felt with people of other faiths, it's really good to understand where they're coming from. There's lots of good courses out there where you can go and you can learn about other faiths. And then you understand them somewhat better. And you can have a more meaningful conversation rather than just confrontational, which is often the case when occasionally we do try to communicate them. Go and find a course and find out about their faith. What about our asylum seekers? What about the homeless? What about the alcoholics? What about the drug addicts? What about young people? What about the elderly? What about those in care homes? What about the lonely? What about the depressed? What about the mentally ill? What about the terminally ill? What about the divorced, the orphans, single people? What about the LGBT community? Huge challenge. Challenge. All of these are challenges for the church. But Jesus met his own challenges. He never allowed the challenge to overcome his need to share the love of God with the whosoever. The whosoever. The whosoever. Let's not be put off by the difficulty. Love of God has the ability to transcend every problem, every difficulty. We need to consider our buildings. Make sure they're a place of welcome, they're a place of support, they're a place of healing. Yes, and sometimes the arrival of such people may make us feel uncomfortable. We might have to change things. Maybe our present format of Sunday service is not appropriate. Maybe we need to change that. Maybe we need to meet on another day. Or at least have a separate service for those who are coming for the first time. You see, where convention is an obstacle, we need to deal with the obstacle. Does our present church services and our worship style, does it put people off? Would a different service or even a different day be more appropriate? Difficulty should not put us off from being God's people in the world. Difficulty should not put us off from being God's people in the world. So I'll leave you with a question. What would you change to make the lost more welcome? And I know you're looking at your future as a church. And these are the things which you will be considering. What would you change to make them more welcome? No one church can do everything. But every church somewhere is doing something. So let us be challenged by the difficulties, but knowing that God in Jesus can overcome. Let's pray. Lord, once we were lost, but now we are found. We thank you for that. Help us not just to be people who basks in the joy of our own salvation, but help us to see others come to you and rejoice in that. Father, pray for Sandy. Pray for this church. We pray that it will be meaningful in the life of this community. Father, bring people, gifts, so that this church may be the church you know it can be. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. First Sunday of each month is your communion.